Father, may the anointing fill this place. May your word be opened up to your people. I know that many are tired and many are not here because of the conference, but I pray that those who are here will be filled with the fullness of the seven spirits of God. Spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, spirit of understanding, spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the Lord. May we be filled with your fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. So it is a very, I don't know, the atmosphere are just so nice today. I think it's because we're firing a lot of people and hiring a lot of people. That's true. Certainly the seven spirits of God. So I don't want you to now also be upset so that I don't fire you out of encounter. Amen. So it's just so nice. The atmosphere is so nice. It's just like there's no devil. Okay. It's either Pastor Mark or, yeah. Okay, listen. I want you to go in your notes, and I'm going to mostly be going through the notes because of time. And it's really good stuff. It's something that I've known for years, that I've worked on for long. It's called the seven spirits of God. Let me just read the scripture there. Exodus 25, verse 31. You shall also make a lampstand. Just a little bit. Just a little bit softer. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand shall be of hammered work. Its shaft, its bronzes, its bowls, its ornaments, ornamental knobs, and flowers shall be in one place. Their knobs and their branches and oil shall be pure gold. Verse 37, you shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. It shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. It's amazing. God is precise when it comes to his building. Are you guys with me? When it's temple, everything had measurements, was precise. This was gold. This was diamond. And people get angry at Donald Trump's hotel because he has a lot of gold. Wait till they get into the presence of God. God said, listen, I build my temple. This thing must be made out of gold. Even the trimmer that you trim the candle with, the light, not a candle, the oil is in there. So like a light, which you trim it with, must be made of gold. Are you guys with me? And God was specific. Moses had to follow every instruction to the T. In fact, the artisans that built on the temple had to have 30 years of experience artisanry, whatever you call it. They had to be experienced. They had to be highly skilled to do this. Are you guys with me? And so it goes on. Listen, Revelation 4 verse 1 to 5. So in that scripture we just read, he speaks of the candle, the seven flames of the Holy Spirit. Revelation 4 verse 1 to 5, it says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Say with me, the seven spirits of God. Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 5. Go to Isaiah 11 verse 1 to 5. On your notes there, it says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. Number two, listen to this. Here he's naming the seven spirits. The spirit of the Lord, number one, shall rest upon him. Number two, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Sorry, the spirit of wisdom, number two. The spirit of understanding, number three. The spirit of counsel, number four. The spirit of might, number five. The spirit of knowledge, number six. And the spirit of the fear of the Lord, number seven. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of the ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of the loins, and faithfulness to his waist. Go for me to verse, in the same chapter, it's on your notes. Go for me to verse 3. I just want to show you something there. It says this. It says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor the sight by the hearing of the ears. When you carry, listen, as we're going to go into this, when you carry the seven spirits of God, meaning which we just read right now, and you have it on your notes, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. When you carry all those different facets of the Holy Spirit, it's not different Holy Spirits. Are you guys with me? I'm going to get into the notes right now. It's different sides and manifestations of the Holy Spirit that can come into action. And when we carry all those personality, those manifestations of the Holy Ghost upon our lives, what is happening is we are walking in the fullness and will no longer judge by the sight of our eyes or by the hearing of our ears. Meaning, religious people can judge you by the sight of their eyes and their ears. Are you guys with me? But God is saying, listen, I look upon the heart, not by my eyes or my ears. When David said, maybe this, when Samuel said, maybe this one will be king, when he was going through Saul and when he was going, when he was going through David's brothers, and God said to Samuel, listen, let's not do the same mistake over again. For I am a God who looks upon the heart. I do not look upon the outside. I look upon the heart. Are you guys with me? So when you carry these seven spirits of God, what happens is you begin to have spiritual sight, spiritual hearing. So it goes there at the, on your notes, seven independent manifestations of the Spirit. I just read it to you. I'm not going to go through there now. Let's get to the next page. And I want you to just stay with me here because I've put a lot of explanation into this. When you hear or read the title, the seven spirits of God, for the first time, the question that will likely come up in your mind is, does this mean that God has seven Holy Spirits? The Bible does show that there are seven spirits of God. It, however, requires us to understand exactly what this means and how it applies to us in the new covenant. How many of you know there's only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? And how many know if Jesus was a person, is a person, and he was a person who walked the earth, and right now his physical body is by the, in the throne room of God. Are you guys with me? When I say his physical body, his new glorified body, but it is, we say Jesus is up there. Christ is in us. Christ is living in our hearts. Christ is in our spirits. But Jesus is forever making intercession by the throne of God for us. Which means if Jesus is a person, if you are a person, you have a spirit soul body. So that means Jesus had a spirit soul body. The Holy Spirit is not referred as an it. It's referred as a person in Scripture. If the Holy Spirit is a person, it has a spirit soul body. Okay, so we'll stop there. So, just for you to understand how God works. The Bible says the Holy Spirit has intellect, a mind, a will. That means a soul. Okay, so to start with the number seven is regarded by the Hebrew people as a sacred number. And throughout the Bible, it is used to symbolize perfection, fullness, abundance, rest, and completion. The seven spirits of God therefore implies every Christian, implies a completeness or fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this fullness of the Spirit is what every Christian ought to have for its, our birthright. All of these seven spirits are really one Holy Spirit in different manifestations. The same term, seven spirits, is also used to portray him in Revelation 1, 4, 4, 5, and 5, 6. The seven spirits of God refer to seven independent manifestations. I'm sure you guys will understand that now. This is, however, not the same as when we say Godhead is made of three persons. No, the Trinity is a different phenomenon altogether. Each member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is a distinct personality with peculiar characteristics and attributes. In the seven spirits of God, we're dealing with one person, the Holy Spirit, and the seven ways in which he operates. Why the seven spirits? Why is it important? When the Bible talks about the Holy Ghost as the seven spirits, what it implies is the fullness of the Spirit, which you may or may not have in your life. You know, Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine as an anticipation, but be filled. If he says be filled, it means because we are not full. Are you guys with me? Otherwise, he would have said stay full. If we were full already. So you can see that when the Holy Ghost comes to live in you, he'll always be in you. Jesus said he'll abide with you forever. But that's not to say you'll always have his fullness. When you have less than the seven spirits of God manifest in you, it means you don't have the fullness. So in this lesson today, we want to, and I'm going to endeavor my best to teach you on the fullness. Are you guys with me? When we carry the fullness, you can walk into a business deal or go to a job and you will have wisdom from above on how to deal with it. When you deal with a person, you can have foreknown knowledge about a person before you speak to them. When you have the spirit of counsel, you can sit with important people and give them wise counsel. Are you guys with me? Solomon had so much wisdom, and I'll show that in our notes a bit later on, but Solomon had so much wisdom. The Bible says that when Solomon prayed, he did not pray for money and for these things. He prayed for one thing, for discernment to judge God's people. For wisdom and discernment to judge God's people. That was his prayer. And the Bible says that God said, Solomon, because you asked for this thing, I will give it to you. But because you didn't ask for your needs, for the wealth and all these other things that everybody's asking for, I will give you even all those things as well. That Queen Sheba paid, I don't know, they say it was over $1 billion. That's what the historians tell you. But she would come in with ships to Solomon, ships of gold and whatever you can get that is expensive, going to Solomon as a gift to have 15 minutes of his time of counsel. That is when the spirit of counsel is upon you. The spirit of wisdom rests upon you. When princes and noble people will ask you for advice. Are you guys with me? Then, in fact, Solomon was so wealthy that he sent Queen Sheba back with more ships of gold filled, sent back with her. If this was in the old covenant and Solomon did not have the spirit within him, I'm going to say it again. God's spirit was not in his people. When I say his spirit, his Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Remember, in the old covenant, God was on the earth. When I mean God, he would put his spirit upon certain people. It was on Moses. So you will not see all the Israelites filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues, getting delivered. It was one man that had to deliver them. So God would place his spirit upon prophets or upon people that would deliver, upon kings and so on. So Solomon was one of them. God's spirit was upon him. But he'd never had the spirit on the inside of him, the Holy Spirit. He's got his spirit. But he never had the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. Which means if he could operate in such wisdom and counsel without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, without us where we're getting saved and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, how about us that can say, listen, I can have all sevenfold flames of the Holy Spirit operating in my life. Are you guys with me? Today we're just going to cover two. We're going to cover spirit of wisdom, the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of wisdom. And it was just too much. I wanted to do everything this morning. I thought, never, this is not going to work. So next week, Sunday, we will finish. But listen, I want you to focus on these seven spirits. Are you guys with me? That when you pray, and this is what I do a lot. When I pray and I say, God, fill me today. Put on me the spirit of the Lord. Number one, you'll see where we explained that just now. Number two, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, counsel, might, fear of the Lord, understanding. May it be manifest upon my life. Because you never know what situation you find yourself in. Are you guys with me? So listen. Let's touch on the first one there. Number one, maybe you can, it's on the next page or so. I'm not sure. No, it's on that page three. The Spirit of the Lord. Say with me, the Spirit of the Lord. So the first manifestation that the Bible is speaking about in Isaiah chapter number 11, verse 2, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. Say with me, rest. When the Holy Ghost rests upon you, he establishes a ministry. When the Holy Ghost rests upon a company of people, he establishes a movement. Listen, with Encounter here, I can start one thing alone. That's great. But once I begin to raise up, I understand the reason of a team and raising up people whose hearts are right. And the Spirit, when the Holy Ghost is going to rest upon it, you'll see a movement taking place. Are you guys with me? When the Holy Ghost rests upon you, listen, power comes when the Holy Spirit rests on you. When he can find a resting place. The dove, the Bible says, when Jesus was baptized in water, that the dove came and rested on him. It speaks of peace. That wherever you walk, you have peace. It's an inner peace. Are you guys with me? Before I if I have to take big meetings, I've ministered to thousands. Let's say on one meeting we were, I think it was Durban Christian Center. It went horribly wrong before I started preaching, and the night before when other people were preaching, horribly wrong. And before I went up, and it's, I mean, their stage is bigger than our church, okay? So it's a big church. And, you know, you have to take the mic here, then you have to walk and stand there, then you have to walk and stand there, and then you can go there. And that's how it works. So, and there was about 2,000, 3,000 young people or something. And I immediately, before I could minister, before any anointing could flow out of me, I had to be in a mode of rest. It's not an outside rest. It's to quiet your spirit. And you can never even attempt to do that without the peace of God. Shalom. Are you guys with me? When you have that peace, I'm telling you, nothing is impossible. When you have that peace and that rest, when the dove is able to rest upon you, power will come upon you in the approach. It is not prayer where we sit and pray in tongues and trying to have warfare. Nothing will happen. That prayer is for something else. That prayer can be for intercession. Are you guys with me? When we get to the church and we pray corporately, we're praying for the nation or this, or we can pray in other tongues. But that prayer will not get the Holy Ghost to rest on you. He rests on two people. Number one, who are hungry. Number two, who knows how to surrender to Him, have no more anxieties in their mind, no more anxieties in their spirit. They know how to trust and rest in Him. You'll feel the anointing move to such a powerful way. Are you guys with me? I don't know if you're getting much. If you're not, it is okay. And this is still part of the anointing series. So we'll finish with this next week. And then, yeah. And then maybe next week what we'll do is we'll pray and we'll minister to the people. And you'll see how God works in the seven spirits. We're definitely going to pray for everyone for it. So listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The first of seven spirits mentioned by the prophet Isaiah is the Spirit of the Lord. This is also known as the Spirit of Lordship or the Spirit of Dominion. Say with me, dominion. I'll explain that a bit later in the notes. It says the one who comes upon. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, it's not the Holy Ghost inside of you. It's the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you. You will know when He's upon you. Are you guys with me? When He comes upon you, He comes upon you for purpose. Comes upon you to cast out devils, to heal this, to make a good, strong business. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon people in prophets in the Old Covenant, the Bible says that they would be taken out of that realm. It was the Spirit of the Lord coming upon them. Some of them, He would knock them down to their feet as the Spirit of God comes upon them. It is time that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us. Are you guys with me? Listen, many Christians know little or nothing about the Spirit. He's the one who always rests upon you or comes upon. Please take note, not within. He's the one who anoints you with power for service. Every time you find described in both the Old and the New Testament, He always comes upon. This is where the Lord gives you, say with Him, boldness. And the sense of dominion. He puts you in charge of situations. This was what the prophets of old needed, like I just said, whenever they stood and declared God's word before kings, whom they would ordinarily have been afraid of. When they need boldness to dominate their circumstances or to speak God's word without fear or timidity, the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and empowered them. Listen, this is when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, every form of fear disappears. I've had situations in my life where people try to attack me, where people have tried to do stuff, even in Krugersdorp, we were ministering there, in other places we were ministering there. But because the Spirit of God is on me at that moment, they cannot touch me. It's the Spirit of God that comes upon you. And then you have the ability to speak with power. Are you guys with me? Because now it's God speaking. That's where we get when that's one of the first spirits of the Lord. Listen, we go on. It says, often you'll read concerning the prophets. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That was in the Spirit of Lordship in operation. He took charge, and the one before whom they stood could do nothing against them. Elisha, listen, this is how Elisha could go looking for the king of Ahab. Get to him and said, and Ahab says, oh, my enemy, have you found me? And Elisha says, yes, I have found you, my enemy. Are you guys with me? And he could speak judgment. Because why? He was speaking with boldness. Elisha didn't care if he was being killed by Ahab. Okay. Elijah wasn't scared if Ahab's wife was Jezebel. He knows he was going to get killed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you go beyond fear. This is when Moses was a fugitive out of Egypt. And God says to him, gives him a little stick. And we think it's the stick that gave him the boldness to go. No. It was when God spoke to him and said, I prophesy to you, you will go back into Egypt. And you will say to Pharaoh this thing. And you will deliver my people out of Egypt. Are you guys with me? What happened? From that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Moses and gave him boldness and courage that in the face of danger, he could speak. In the face of danger, listen, this boldness, this thing comes, there's a lot of factors to it. It comes with purity. It comes with people that are bold. One of the greatest keys for the anointing to flow is boldness. Listen, the operations of the Spirit of the Lord. There's a special anointing that's what the Lord brings with him. We see this anointing operation when he visits prophet Ezekiel. Listen, Ezekiel 1:28 says, like the appearance of rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of a brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So Ezekiel said, when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. Ezekiel said, the glory of the Lord, and he fell on his face, completely overwhelmed. Look what goes on. Ezekiel 2 verse 1, it says, and he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. And Ezekiel was too weak to stand on his feet. Then it goes on, it says, then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him spoke with me. And I want to make just something clear. The Holy Spirit did not go into people. Are you guys with me? This is also not the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit inside of us. This is the Spirit of the Lord. It's a different facet, manifestation of Him. This is when Ezekiel didn't have strength as he was lying there. He didn't have any strength to do anything. He couldn't pray or anything. And it's like if you're sitting in your room and you say, God, I have no strength. I cannot pray. I don't feel like worshiping. Or you're sitting and you begin to pray with others. We prayed last night at my house and you begin to pray with others. Or you get on your room and you begin to pray. And then after a half an hour, all of a sudden you're up walking and you're praying and you're full of the Spirit. What is happening? The Spirit of the Lord came and lifted you up and gave you strength. All of a sudden you don't even remember when you were weak. Are you guys with me? It's called breakthrough prayer. Then you go from that realm to the next. Then you begin to pray. You know, I was thinking the other night that the churches I have not seen anymore. 20 years ago, I've seen it. I've heard of it 20 years ago. 15 years ago, 10 to 15 years ago, we used to do it. When we used to travel, we used to do it. A thing we called breakthrough prayer, where people would get into a church and you pray right through the night until there's a shift, a break. And then you leave that place. It's called breakthrough prayer. That is how revivals come. Are you guys with me? So we see the Spirit entered him. So I wrote there. I said, have you ever been in a state where you thought you were just too weak and tired to pray? Still made an attempt to mumble a few words of prayer. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you. And spoke in tongues a little. Then you heard the Spirit say, get up and pray. It sounded authoritative, but you thought to yourself, God understands, I'm really tired. And can you continue mumbling weakly? But then all of a sudden, you're wide awake, pacing the floor. It was the Spirit of the Lord lifting you up. That was the Spirit of the Lord at work. He entered and set you upon your feet, just as he did with Ezekiel. There's another interesting operation of the Spirit. Listen to this. Acts 8 verse 39. It says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. Philip was baptized in water. And the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. And we can see that Philip was placed down in another city. Are you guys with me? The Spirit of the Lord picked him up, threw him in another city, and he started preaching, and thousands came to the Lord and miracles broke out because that city had to be saved. The operation of the Spirit of the Lord. This is not Old Testament. This is the New Testament. If the Spirit of the Lord can pick up Philip, who was an evangelist, but he was really just somebody serving in the church, pick him up and put him in another city. This is the operation. Say with me, the operations of the Spirit of the Lord when it comes on you. Are you guys with me? Every time you find the rendering, the Spirit of the Lord in the New Testament, pay close attention to it. It doesn't say the Spirit caught him away, but it says the Spirit of the Lord. Remember, Philip was born again and he had the Holy Ghost in him. But this was another function of the Holy Spirit coming from the outside, picking him up. Are you guys with me? I've prayed with people. When we get to deliverances, you'll take them like this and you pull in the Spirit and they come, fall on the floor and you lift them up and people lift up like this without them seeing you. It's the Spirit of the Lord grabbing them, picking them up. We were in Krugersdorp. The guy was, I don't know, he was convulsing and he was wetting his pants and everything in front of the church as he's getting delivered of drugs. And we'll pray and he bends up like this on the air. The whole time he hops like this. The Spirit of the Lord. You don't believe it until you see it. Huh? Until you see it. So, listen. This is where the Lord caught away Philip. That had to have happened from the outside. He carried Philip physically and took him somewhere else. Now that's power. And that's the Spirit of the Lord was talking about when he said, you shall receive power. Say with him, power. Listen, number two, the Spirit of the Lord empowers you. And we're still on the first Spirit. We'll get now to the second one, which is the Spirit of wisdom. He will empower you. He will give you wisdom. This is where Peter and John were walking past the gate of beautiful. And they saw a lame man lying down. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus, we do not have silver and gold. But in the name of Jesus Christ, pick up your bed, stand up and walk. And the man didn't look at them, but then Peter said, this man is not even standing up. Let me stretch out my hand and pull him up. It's because why? Peter felt he had power upon him. Are you guys with me? Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When you are like that, when you are under the Spirit of the Lord, when His power is covering you, you can go to a sick person, pull them out. You can prophesy to somebody. You can do things that are impossible. It's the anointing. Are you guys with me? This is where, oh no, listen. I used to get pulled over by police. I remember the one time I was on my way to a meeting. I don't know if I was speeding or not. And I got pulled over. And I was worshiping God in the car the whole time. The presence of God was thick. It was about two or three. I think Lloyd was there. It was, you know, and the presence of God was thick. And I got out and these guys pulled us over. And I think we were going fast. So, you know, he sits and he writes the fine, 1,200 or whatever it is. So I just stand and I look at him. But the presence of God is all over me. And I look at the guys and he's like, who are you? You know, so I said, don't worry. He says, I feel something here, you know. This is the Metro Police. So I said, I'm a pastor and I'm on my way to go preach, you know. And the guy's like, oh, please, there's going to be a camera there. And if you go to the next, there's going to be another camera there. But what did he say? I remember I just stood there. You can release the Spirit, the anointing. And I just released it. I was just, at resting comes in. And it comes upon him. I promise you, unbeliever, Satan, doesn't matter who they are, they will feel the presence of God coming on them. Imagine what you can do in business deals. Imagine what you can do with these things. Are you guys with me? When you carry the Spirit of the Lord that is upon you, who caused the prophets to prophesy against kings with their faces. Are you guys with me? Facing death. Moses going back into the same country, into the same place that he was in, that he was a fugitive from. And God says, go to the very man that is sent out to kill you. Most probably a reward on his head. Are you guys with me? Go to his face and speak. Why? With the Spirit of God. That is what you can do. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord empowers you. Listen, he's not a still small voice. Listen to this. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, I want to say this very clear. The Spirit of the Lord upon you is not a still small voice. The Holy Spirit in you is a still small voice. Are you with me? That's where you hear him talking on the inside of you. But when he is upon you, he's dangerous. Listen, when this with the Lord comes upon you, you may not be talking, but you'll start seeing things. There'll be a new boldness in your soul. That's what the prophet Micah meant when he said in Micah 3 verse 8, he says, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. Say with me, full of power and of justice and might to declare to Jacob, transgression, and to Israel is sin. Some think of the Spirit of the Lord as a still small voice. That's because they don't know Him. He's not a still small voice. He's the Spirit of dominion. He welled up in Paul when Elimaeus, the sorcerer, challenged him. And the Bible tells us, put on Acts 13, verse 8 on the screen there. So when the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you, listen to me, when witches come to you, when somebody in witchcraft comes to you, are they in big trouble? But Elimaeus, the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Next verse. This is a sorcerer. Then Saul, who also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit and power, looked intently at him. Are you guys with me? When you have the power and you're standing by a witch or a sorcerer or somebody that's operating witchcraft, you can look intently by the Spirit of the Lord at them. Next, and it said, "O fool," and Paul said, "O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Next verse. "And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." You know, we always have the saying, we say, "Oh, the hand of God is on that person there. God is using them." Very few, I don't even think there's a reference in the Bible which says the hand of God was on someone in a good way. When the hand of God comes upon someone, it is for deliverance. It is for bad stuff. Are you guys with me? So he says, "And the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead by the hand. Listen, we've done deliverances where I will tell somebody, I'll say, "By the power of the Holy Ghost right now, you'll be stuck to this floor until I get back." They will lay like that on the floor, unable to move. By the Spirit of the Lord that has dominion, power. He's the one that comes upon. He's the one that anoints. Are you guys with me? I bound them to the floor. Pastor Mark struck them with blindness. So, okay. Okay, so that's not a still small voice. Listen, say with me, "Prepare myself." Some say when you pray hard enough, that's when the power comes. No, it's got nothing to do with praying hard, but everything to do with someone who is hunger. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't force Himself. The question is, how much do I want Him? If you want Him, He will fill you. He never goes where He's not wanted, except when He shows up to enforce a change or bring judgment. Remember, He's the boss, so don't stir Him up. Say with me, "Don't stir." We don't shake Him up to get Him to do things. Instead, we prepare for Him. Are you guys with me? The Bible says that if you're a vessel that's prepared, you'll be ready and fit for the Master's use. God wants to use you, but He wants you to be ready for Him. He wants you to be cleansed, separated, and sanctified. Then He'll be ready to use you. So through the Spirit of wisdom. This is the second spirit. And listen, I don't know if it sounds boring, but we got the Spirit of the Lord, with the Spirit of wisdom, and the best is still yet to come. Might. When the Spirit of might would come upon Samson, he would take the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 people around him with the jawbone of a donkey. Spirit of might would come upon the mighty men of David. One man had a spear, and I think about 3,000 people came to him, and he killed them with, not a spear, a sword, with one sword, until the sword was stuck to his hands. The Bible says he stood on a lentil garden, and they couldn't, the garden was still protected after that. They couldn't get, and he stood in one place, killing, I think, about 3,000 people until his sword was stuck to his hand. Couldn't pry his hand from his sword. The Spirit of might coming upon people. Are you guys with me? When the Spirit of might comes upon you, it doesn't matter how big someone is, you can remove them. I had one person, we won't go into the details, but I had one person that beat me up in high school, and it was very bad, beat me up in high school, and and eventually my ministry, I saw the person coming to the meetings, and I'm like, you know, what's going on here? Okay, so I'm looking at this guy, and the one time he tried to come for me, and I turned around, and I rebuked this guy with my finger in his face like this. And I rebuked him like this. Next thing, the man is on the floor crying. And I'm having a vision where I used to be on the floor and he's on me. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, nothing can touch you. But it is for us to prepare ourselves for the Spirit of the Lord to be upon us, including all the seven spirits. There's a way, maybe I'll preach about it one day still soon. The way the Holy Ghost comes with that power on you is in resting mode. You know, Samuel said to, Eli said to, the Bible says Samuel, when he was a young boy, he lied down on his bed. Then the Lord spoke to him. When he lied down, when he rested, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. Then he got up and he went to Eli and I said, Eli, have you spoken? Eli said, no, go lie down again. And then again, the Spirit of the Lord will speak to you. Which means the voice comes by rest. Are you guys with me? The power of God comes by resting, not by anxiety. You must remove distractions and anxiety. Any person that has anxiety or distractions will never be able to prophesy. Okay. The Spirit of God. Say with me, the Spirit of wisdom. Isaiah 11 verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom is the one who brings you the wisdom of God. Paul prayed for the Ephesians Christians in Ephesians 1:17. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because he observed that the Ephesians Christians were demonstrating the power and glory of God, but lacked wisdom and revelation. My prayer for many years, I would take Ephesians 1 verse 7 and two or three other scriptures. We call it the prayers of Paul. I would get on my knees and I would pray. I would say, God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that my eyes may be opened. That my eyes, my spiritual eyes may be opened, that I can know the hope of his calling, the inheritance of the saints, of the glory in him. Are you guys with me? And the riches of his glory. Listen, this is what happens to a lot of God's people. They have the power, but they don't have wisdom. Say with me, wisdom. Let's get to the accurate definition of wisdom. A lot of people think wisdom means the ability on how to apply knowledge. How many of you have ever heard that? Okay. Okay. Huh? Are you guys hearing me? Oh my God. Okay. Wisdom. Many people say that wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. But it's not. Because you can have the ability to apply knowledge and still not do it. And you can be worse of a fool. Are you guys with me? Wisdom is what we call Sophia in the Greek, which comes from above. It comes from heaven. It's heavenly wisdom. It's when God gives you the wisdom to do something and you find your hands automatically doing it. I'm going to say it again. It's when God gives you the ability to say, I want you to do this business deal or this ministry, this. I want you to do this. And you don't think, okay, must know. You automatically are driven to move and do something there. That is wisdom. Wisdom is somebody taking the applied knowledge and they are doing it. A fool is somebody knowing exactly what to do and then not doing anything. There are so many fools. Listen, are you guys with me? Go down to Proverbs 8 verse 12 on your page. I think it is the, might be Proverbs 8 verse 12, page 7. It says, this is what wisdom is saying to himself. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Wisdom says, I don't go alone. I have prudence, discretion, or good judgment in practical affairs and knowledge with me. You have insight and foresight because the Spirit of wisdom brings them to you. But his ministry doesn't stop there. He lets loose within your system that controlling force that causes you to act wisely. It's a force that'll make you act wisely. With wisdom, say, I have it made. Listen, when you lack wisdom, you may think the wrong thoughts, say the wrong words, do the wrong things, and make the wrong choices. And most of the problems people have are caused by lack of wrong choices. When I look at people, I've counseled many people. When I look at them where they are in life, financially, family, things that's going wrong, everything has been made because of wrong decisions. I mean, everything is there because of wrong decisions made. Do you guys understand me? They just never applied wisdom. Listen, leaders make the wrong choices because they lack wisdom. And as a result, nations are thrown to turmoil. People make wrong investments and lose money because they don't have wisdom. Someone marries the wrong person. This is a hard one. And gets stuck in an unsavory marriage because he or she lacks wisdom. I always say this. The biggest destroyer to destiny is two great people that were never supposed to be married. Two great people married who were never supposed to be married. Someone marries the wrong person. Yeah, but when wisdom resides in you, it will pilot you in the right direction. That's why you need the spirit of wisdom. Are you guys with me? When the spirit of wisdom operates and functions, your life becomes bright and exciting in Proverbs. Solomon, the wisest man to live before Jesus, said this. Listen to this. And this is powerful with Solomon. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds, say with me, proceeds. Okay, that's profit. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain than fine gold. He says, this is the secret, Solomon is saying. I'm telling you, if you have wisdom, even if you don't have any money, you'll get money. They have made a study. If all the money in the world has to be distributed to every person, right now there's people that have money that is small money, that can give each person in South Africa 1 million. Are you guys with me? It's very easy to do that if you have money. They say if all the money has to be distributed in the whole world, I can't remember the amount they said that each person will be. I think it's 100 million or something like that, that each person will be. They said in a matter of years, the rich that was rich will be rich again. And those who never had money will be poor again. Say with me, wisdom. It's, you know, you either have wisdom or not from above. Listen, Proverbs 3 verse 15, it says, she is more, now wisdom, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So when wisdom is working in you, say with me, peace. You will have the most utmost peace. He says your life will be full of peace. You won't ever have to worry about lack, want sickness or disease or anything contrary to the good life. The Hebrew word translated as peace is shalom. Shalom doesn't just depict quietness or tranquility or an environment where no one is disturbing you. More importantly, peace speaks of prosperity. Are you guys with me? It means, shalom means more than that. It goes to a state of completeness, wholeness. I said to so many people, you know, when I put my head to bed, except the last few months that I was sick, but when I put my head to the bed, to the pillow, my whole ministry, whether we had money or no money, I would put my head to the pillow and I have butterflies in my stomach. I have peace and excitement. I'm like, I can't believe what God has done. I can't believe what He is going to. And I'm not in a palace. Are you guys with me? That was when we had little, but I just had so much peace. When you have peace, the Bible says, have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Which means if you can't pay your bill, when you have shalom in you, it passes all understanding. When you can't pay doctor's bill, you can't do this, you know what's going to happen to your family, but you carry shalom. You don't only carry peace, you carry the Prince of Peace. Are you guys with me? Amen. That peace will protect you your whole life. Listen. The biggest mistakes that people have done is, they'll say, and even I can ask people here, the biggest mistakes we have made, the most mistakes we have made is when we do things in a hurry. Are you guys with me? Where are we? So let's go to, say with me, wisdom can be seen and heard. Listen to this. Until someone speaks or acts, you may not know he has the spirit of wisdom. But wisdom can be seen and heard. When he functioned in Solomon, when wisdom functioned in Solomon, listen to this story. Everybody knew. One day they brought before Solomon two women who lived in the same house. Both of them had just delivered their babies, 3 days apart from each other. One night, one of them slept over her son and killed him. On realizing she had accidentally killed a baby, she went over to a neighbor's bed and switched the babies. The other woman woke up the next morning to feed a baby, only to discover he was dead. She looked closely at the dead child and knew he wasn't hers. So she went looking for a baby and saw him with a roommate and tried to claim her child back. But a fight ensued. when the matter was brought before the king, Solomon, everyone wondered what he would do. None of them would. None of the women came with their husbands, so no daddy could speak. No one else lived in the house with them, so there were no witnesses. The king wisely, say with your wisdom, this is what you get when you have wisdom. The king wisely requested for a sword and ordered that the live baby will be divided in two by a sword and given to the two mothers. And it says the mother cried out, no, don't kill him. Give her the baby instead. But the other woman said, yes, kill him so he won't belong to either of us. Solomon then stood up and said to the real mother, this is your baby, take him. It's wisdom from above. Are you guys with me? It's the gift of wisdom, spiritual, the spirit of wisdom. I'm telling you, above might, above the spirit of the Lord, when you have the spirit of wisdom, your life will be success. Amen. So the Bible says in 1 Kings 3:28, it says that all Israel, so the all of Israel, heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. And I pray that, listen, when you have wisdom, these two spirits, the spirit of the Lord coming upon you with power, number two, the spirit of wisdom, when you operate in wisdom, even to the countries and nations will realize, but wait, this man or this woman has wisdom operating through them. Are you guys with me? Let's stand to our feet. Just raise your hands. I wanted to finish a bit earlier today, not so late always. Just raise your hands to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the anointing, for the glory of God. May wisdom, may the Spirit of the Lord rest upon our lives. When your Spirit comes upon us, when your anointing comes upon us, the Spirit of wisdom, Sophia, comes upon us, when peace, shalom, comes upon us, the peace that surpasses all understanding, even though everything might be going wrong, but we know and we realize and we know the Prince of Peace is with us and we have no anxieties in Jesus' mighty name. Give him a praise offering, church.